It's been about a month since I've had a message on prayer, The Mission Possible. I want to finish this series up. I have this message and two more messages. The final message will be kind of a finalization, wrap-up kind of message. Then we're going to transition into Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's going to be, it seems kind of odd when it's 85 degrees outside, but it's coming, and we're going to be transitioning. Let me just quickly review the series up to this point, just kind of give you a quick, and this is quick. We began with Eliezer, which was a servant of Abraham who was sent on an impossible mission, far, far away to find a wife for his son Isaac and then to bring her back. And so when he arrived on the scene, he prayed the prayer, "Lord, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. I'm not here for me, I'm here for him and I'm here for you. And I don't even know you that well, but I want you to give me success today." Then we talked about Jacob, one of the twins. You know, he was the second of the two fraternal twins born. They're not identical. Esau and Jacob. Esau was born first in their life. Jacob tricked him out of his birthright over a bowl of porridge or pottage, and then later, at the end of Abraham's life, he tricked him out of Isaac's life. He tricked him out of his blessing. So Esau said, "I'm going to kill him. When Dad dies, I'm going to kill him." And so Jacob runs, and he hides, and he's off. And years go by, and he hears that Esau's coming home. And so he prays, "Lord, save me." There are times in our life when that's the only thing that can come out of our lips. We don't know how this impossible mission is going to end, but we know it's possible. And so we pray that prayer. Moses was contemplating all the things that were going on as he is being brought into the leadership of millions of people to come and out of Egypt and go to the promised land. They don't even know where that's at. And as he tries to explain that to the people, they gripe and complain and they moan and all of those things. And he said, "Lord, if this is what you want, you got to go with me." And he also prayed, "You got to teach me your ways. This is all new to all of us, and we need you, Lord." And that's a good prayer for us to pray. We talked about Gideon's prayer. Gideon's in the wine press. He's defeated. He's depressed. He's about given up. He's in hiding. And God comes and says, "It's time for you to go lead the people. Go fight the battles." And like a lot of us, when God speaks to our heart, we go, "Nah, that must be somebody else's role. I couldn't possibly do that. That's not for me." And he said, "Lord, show me a sign." Sometimes God allows you to pray that prayer. "Show me a sign. Give me a sign. I need to know, Lord, before I go out on the limb and saw that limb off from underneath me." Then we talked about Hannah. Hannah was barren. She was being mocked by the other wives and other people in the family. She didn't have a son. She prayed to the Lord that he would remove the barrenness. She said, in bitterness of soul, it says that Hannah wept and she prayed, "Oh Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant and give her a son." That was her prayer. She was praying for nothing less than a miracle. Sometimes that's what we need to pray for. It's nothing less than a miracle. And then Solomon, more recently, we talked about his praying. God said, "I'll give you anything you desire as you take over the kingdom. This is going to be a good time. It's going to be a united kingdom. There's going to be a lot of popularity. Good things are going to happen. So what do you want? And Solomon said, "I need wisdom to be able to lead these people." And God says, "Not only am I proud of that request, I'm going to grant you wealth and fame and all those other things as well." He says, "Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead the people." And then we talked about Nehemiah just before the lay of renewal, the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. He's gone back. He was the cupbearer, and he had asked permission to go back, and he goes back, and he's doing God's work, and it's happening really well. It's going well. But there's always distractors. There's always the naysayers. There's always people who don't like to see God's work advance. And so they're mocking, ridiculing him. They're trying to get him to leave the job and come talk to him. They're probably going to kill him if he does that. And then they laugh and says, you know, he's afraid that they're going to get so tired of the ridicule that they're just going to lose the will to work. And his prayer was, Lord, strengthen my hands. Keep me at the task. Help me follow through. Don't let me be waylaid. Okay, so now it brings us to today's message. If you got your Bible, Luke chapter 17, I want to read just the first six verses, where he says, Jesus said to the disciples, and he's teaching them in a setting, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. Now, we recognize that as a real truth. Things that cause people to sin happen. It happens to all of us at different times and in different ways in our life. But he says, woe to the person through whom that sin may come. We need to be careful that we're not causing others to stumble and that we're not the source of sin that causes people distress. In verse 2 it says, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. God cares for even the smallest person. And that means if in my heart, my mind, I don't think I'm anything, God still cares for me, no matter what. So, interesting words, Jesus says, so watch yourself. Watch out. Be careful. Don't be off guard. Think about these things. He says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. That's okay. Now, there's a reason for rebuking. We'll talk about that. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, Jesus says, forgive him. And so the apostles said to the Lord an interesting statement. They're looking at him. They're hearing his words. They're thinking about it. They're processing it. And they go, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, he's talking about forgiveness. Now, we've lived in a world of sue happy people. We're living in a society and a world where we have a very serious character flaw. We feel entitled. No matter what happens, somebody's got to be blamed. No matter why it happened, somebody's got to pay. No matter when it happened, anybody can sue you for anything they can think of and got the money to get a lawyer to take them to court. Nothing is just an accident anymore. We just live in this blame society. And here Jesus is talking about forgiveness. And I want you to notice, and we're going to look at it, how he linked, or they did, our faith to forgiveness. I think I can just see these disciples. Peter, you know, I'm probably like Peter, real calm, nice, gentle little guy. I heard that laugh. You know, there's Peter and there's these other guys, these old fishermen, and they're standing there and Jesus is talking about forgiving seven times seven, and they're scratching their head and saying, what? Just, you know, now they've probably been around Jesus long enough, so then now that they could go, the world says no matter how big or small the offense, I will never change my mind, I will never say I'm sorry, and I'll never forgive you. And that's the disciples scratching their head thinking, what in the world? Jesus said in this verse of Scripture, number 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. I think that's when they just looked at him and went, you're going to have to increase my faith on that one, Jesus, because I'm not there yet. And I think that's where we are in America. We're just not there yet. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter says the same thing. Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? I think that's what you said before. Is that really right, Lord? Jesus answers, says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which was a Greek way of saying there's no end to forgiveness. And so I want to share with you a couple of thoughts. First of all, I want to share you the process of forgiving a brother. We all have to do this. You and I have been hurt. We've been misspoken. You can just think of it. I can give you a whole list. The first thing you've got to do is you have to forgive him or her in your heart. You got to do that. Now, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I think this one thing right here, when we don't forgive others, when Jesus has forgiven us so much that He died for our sins, He suffered for our sins, and we don't, we're grieving Him. See, Paul said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the rage. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the brawling. Get rid of the slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. You've got to, you have to take hold of that, and you have to do this on your own. You've got to take the step. He says, be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, in Christ, God forgave us. Now, it's a battle. It's hard. Sometimes things remind us of the past, and it comes back, and it hurts. Sometimes there's just nothing we can do about it. But before we can confront and forgive, he talks about rebuking. See, if your brother sins against you, rebuke. That's proactive. You've got to go do that. If you're holding a grudge against someone else, the scriptural mandate is not to wait for them to come to you. They'll forget about it. You must go. The rebuking is yours. Before you can confront and rebuke, you must be right in your own heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you skip this first step, you're heading for a disaster. It won't work. And I'll tell you some reasons why in a minute. How many people have we held grudges against? How many people have done us wrong? How many people have hurt us? How many people that when you just mention their name, you go, okay, maybe I'm the only one and all of you are just perfect little angels. I think you're angels. But you know I'm talking about us all. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody has come along and hurt us along the way. And so we got to forgive them in our heart. Now that doesn't mean we approve of what they did. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt like it hurts. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Can you imagine how God felt as He looked upon the masses destroying His own Son? And yet He, from the cross, said, Father, sic them. No, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we're going to teach them. And we're going to show them. So the first thing is you got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive them in your heart, so that you can forgive them. Number two is, you got to then go to the offender in private and rebuke him. That's what it says. Go to the rebuke. If he sins against you, rebuke him. That rebuking is a proactive. Let me tell you this. If Ask Willie is Willie is asking for trouble, if Ask Willie is the way you're going to rebuke him. I love reading that, Ask Willie. But then it goes in the garbage. Well, it goes to the recycle. Romans 14:13 says this, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 reminds us to do it all for the glory of God. And I can promise you, if you rush in where angels fear to trot and you're going to set somebody straight, God's not getting any glory that moment, that day. Remember, you can't skip number one. You're not going to set that record straight. You're not going to get something off your chest. You're not going to put somebody in their place. You're not going to give them a piece of your mind. That won't be much, but you're going to give it to them. You're not going to get even or get revenge. What are you doing? Rebuking sounds rough, but rebuking is the biblical, the spiritual, the personal, and the private opportunity that you will have to restore a relationship, to redeem the time, to honor Christ in your life, and to leave that setting as friends, not enemies. The purpose of this discussion. The purpose of rebuking is restoration, not destruction. Rebuking's kind, not harsh. It's gentle, not mean. It's private, not public. It's loving, not hateful. So here's how you do it. And I think this is pretty scriptural. Here's how you do it. First of all, don't go till you've done step number one. And you've done it well. And you've taken time to know that that burning anger has been lifted. Whatever it is that you're upset about, you've got to, don't go till you've been able to forgive in your heart. You don't approve of the action, but you've forgiven in your heart. You're ready to say, all right, I love you, and I want to talk to you about something, and I want to do it in the right spirit, and I want us to be friends when this is over, if it's possible. And so don't go till you've done step number one. Secondly, don't ambush them. Don't wait till you catch them off guard and call them, grab them by the collar and, you worthless scoundrel, I got you right where I want you, and when I get through with you, you don't know, you're not going to know what hit you. You ever had that said to you? Don't ambush them. Set an appointment. Give them a call. Now, in this day and age, giving them a call by the younger generations is send them a text, send them an email. Do it the old-fashioned way and talk to a voice. Call them up and say, I would like to talk with you about what happened. They may not have a clue what happened, but you got to do that. Don't ambush them. Thirdly, don't go unprepared. You've got to pray. You've got to pray for the mind of Christ to settle in the heart of this old sinner. You've got to give him first place in this experience. You've got to pray that you will lovingly explain, and here's the key, what you saw and how you felt and interpreted it. Because they may not see it or know it like you just experienced it. They might not have given it a second thought. It may not be a big deal to them at all. But you've got to lovingly, with the mind of Christ, explain to them, this is what happened. This is how I saw it. And this is how it made me feel. You're not attacking them. Don't attack them. Love them. You're seeking restoration. And if it's only in your own soul, that's good enough. And you got to pray that they'll at least be receptive to having the discussion. Number four, don't beat around the bush. I call this is not a Dale Carnegie's course on making friends and influencing people. This is not what this is about. You don't sit down, a cup of tea, and let's talk about the children, the grandchildren, Aunt Sue, Bubba. We're just not there. I appreciate you letting me come over. I need to talk with you about this. Don't beat around the bush. This is what happened. This is how I saw it. This is how it made me feel. I was thinking that. And then just be quiet and let them respond. Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, simply let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And then this is interesting. We never hear the rest of the verse. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So we got to pray for the heart and the mind of Christ in us to lovingly do what we got to do. It is our response. If I'm the one who's hurt, I am the one who has to go. Five, don't get sidetracked. Sometimes these discussions get heated. Sometimes the voice level rises. And sometimes the past gets drug in. Well, that's just like when you ran over my baby doll in the parking lot and you just kept going. Yeah, that's just like this. That's just like that. No, just don't get sidetracked and don't let them sidetrack you and say, we can talk about that, but I'm here for this. And we need to take care of this. Don't get sidetracked. Remember this. Rebuking You are there to do spiritual business. This is spiritual warfare. Satan doesn't want you there. Satan doesn't want restoration. Satan doesn't want healing. Satan doesn't want two people to make up. Satan just doesn't want that to happen. This is a spiritual battle. And we're living in the midst of it in America. I'm watching friends break friendship over Donald and Hillary. Come on. We're not going to agree on those two. Wherever you are. We're just not. But folks, it's not worth the love of Christ, the mind of Christ in me, to be destroyed and my witness flushed down the tube. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray hard. I'm going to hold my nose and I'm going to vote for somebody and I'm going to walk outside and throw up. Because this is horrible election year. But it's not going to ruin my relationship with you. You vote for the one I don't vote for, I'm going to love you anyway. Spiritual. It's a warfare, and Satan is involved in our lives to break us up. Now, that's where the fun becomes. Now, you've gone. You've done what you know. You're there. You're in the midst of the spiritual battle. You're not attacking the other person. You're trying to be loving. You're trying to say, this is how I felt. Not you're a dirty, low-down dog scumbag. You know, I'm here because this is what we need to do. There's only two responses. They'll either reject you, or there will be some form of repentance. If they reject you, now I'm not going there today. There's another message for the rejection. But I want to tell you that the vast majority of people who will take step number one in my heart and step number two, make an appointment and go see them. The vast majority of people who do that will resolve this issue. We're talking, and some psychologists and some counselors will say, we're talking 95% of all the stuff that breaks relationships up can be solved if you do it this Christian way. And so, if they reject you, we'll talk about that. But we're talking about the vast majority of this stuff being fixed, made right, if they repent. Now, repent doesn't mean saying, Uncle, I give. No, that's not it. Repenting can mean coming to terms with one another and saying, okay, I see how you saw it. That's not how I meant it. You get the picture. But now, repenting could mean, I did do it, and I'm wrong, and we deal with it. That's the only two responses. There are only two, and if they do repent, there's only two responses. You can forgive them, which is the reason you came in the first place, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle and God's winning it. But if you don't accept the repentance, why'd you go in the first place? Then there's another reason. We can talk about that, but I won't today. The reason you went was not for the Lord. You don't have to be in complete agreement to forgive them. You can come to an arrangement that we understand each other, we know each other, and we're going to still love each other, and we're going to move on. That brings me to what I've called and told you. I don't think I've ever put it on the screen. Maybe I have, but I couldn't remember ever doing it. It's the five love languages of forgiveness. There's another book by the same author on five love languages of apology, and that's a little bit different. But I just want to remind you, I jokingly said, this is, guys, remember this. This is what you're going to have to do when you blow it with your wife. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I won't do it again. How do I make it up? Okay, that's fine. We'll leave them up for just a minute. Most every time you have one of these situations, and this is on both sides of this thing. You know, I will go, Betsy says I'm crazy. Well, I am crazy. But she says, you know, you've been too far. No, I think it's the biblical way to do this. I will say I'm sorry in a heartbeat. Even if I'm thinking, I had no clue that happened. Now, I'll tell you, that happens occasionally. And I was wrong, or I didn't intend it to be that way. Okay? So I do ask you to forgive me. Whatever's in your heart, and this is on both sides of this issue, the rebuker or the rebukee, you know, this is on both sides. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. That's not what I want. Now, it may have been in the heat of a moment what I wanted at the moment. It's not what I intended. So, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Now, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's it right there. Now, whether I can say I'll never do it again or not may have to do with a principle in my life. But if it's something that means that much to that individual, as best I know how, I will say to them, as far as I know, I'll never do that again. I'll try not to, but there are times when the principle kicks in. And then the idea of how can I make it up to you? If they ask you to do the impossible, you say, well, I can't do that. And you know that. Let's think about this again. You know, you're asking me to go jump off. I had a man tell me. I said, well, what do you want me to do? How can I make it up to you? This was many years ago. And he basically said, repent ashes and sackcloth, repent, and then go jump off a bridge. Basically what he said. Get out of my life. Die. Whatever you do, don't come back. That's not biblical. But now, do we not do that in our heart? That's why I said we got to do number one first. Number one has to be done first. We have to be right with the Lord. The original question, the disciples hear Jesus talking about forgiveness, and they go, increase my faith. Someone tells you to go jump off a bridge, you need to remember the disciples. Forgiveness, repentance, 7 times 70. Lord, give me faith. That may be all you can do as you walk away. World says it won't work. Your friends say don't do it. You may say, I just can't do that. I'm afraid. The hurt's too deep. I've never done it that way before. Or it's just crazy. This is ludicrous. And every time Satan puts that thought in your ear, hear the disciples say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. And hear God say, have faith. Have faith. Jesus said things that cause people to sin are bound to happen. But Jesus says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Are you ready to forgive somebody today? Are you ready to say, well, step one, I got to get right. I know it hurt. I know it was bad. I know it. We said things. We did things. We went places we shouldn't have gone with our attack on each other. So step one. You got to forgive yourself too. And then forgive them in your heart. And make the decision. I'm going to make this right if at all possible. And I'm going to have faith like the disciples that it's going to increase, and I'll be able to do what I need to do for rebuking and restoration and the glory of God. There it is. You see, here's my last statement. We must be different in the discussion. Not what the world says, what God says. Let's pray. Father, I have to admit that I haven't always done what I've preached. I have to admit that there are probably many others that haven't done what this message implies. But like those disciples who were listening to you very intently and thinking about all you were saying and wondering, how does this apply to my life? I think what they said, increase my faith, is perfect. Increase our faith today, Lord. And where there is a need for two people to sit down and have that discussion that's been put off for far too long, Lord, may it happen. May first of all they're able to say in their heart, I know this is the will of God and I'm going to be prayed up. I'm going to make that appointment. We're going to sit down and I'm going to love them no matter how harsh they come at me. And I'm going to forgive them and hope and pray, Lord, that we will be restored. I know that's your will. And I thank you for your guidance, for your direction, for your Holy Spirit that will help us through that moment. And so I pray, Lord, for your will be done. Increase our faith. In Christ's name we pray. Nail-scarred hand from that wooden cross with pain writhing through his body. He said, Jesus said, Father, forgive. Can we do any less? Let's stand. As we stand, as we sing, if you need to respond to this message personally, you want to talk and pray, if you want to come to the altar and spend a moment with the Lord, you need to do that today. You need to do it now. You need to join this church. We're waiting on many to do that. You need to receive Christ. We're waiting on you to do that. Rededicate your life. Do that. Let's sing. Praise Him. Two thoughts to take out the door with you. One is rebuking and restoration and forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean everything will turn back the clock to when it was before. Some decisions were made, some lives were changed, but God will give you the grace. He'll give you the grace to understand that. That's one thought. Second thought is, I'm reminded of the young priest who was in practice in the seminary, and he went into the confession booth, which we don't do, and spent the day with the father, and the father took him into the office at the end of the day, and they were talking, and the young man said, well, Father, how did I do? And he said, well, you did pretty good, except when you would go, wow, you really did that? If somebody calls you up, don't go, wow, you're calling me? You may not have a clue, but they may need to call you. Set the appointment. This is a God thing. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want it to happen, but this is we're in the midst of it. Lay renewal has just jump-started something here, and people are going to be changed with the Lord in their heart and life, and it's good. So just, I'll get 25 phone calls today, I know. Let's pray. God, as we dismiss, we praise your holy name. And we do commit ourselves right now fresh to just live by your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing that it's spiritual battle that tries to keep us apart, but through Christ, it can be redeemed. It can be restored in your time. So we ask for that blessing as we dismiss from here in Jesus' name. Amen.